think of something this morning. I want to share something this morning briefly. Think on this. The earth, the planet on which we live. Think of Revelation that we looked at just briefly in our worship time together. We looked at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, and I read a couple of verses from Revelation 8, talking about the magnitude of God, talking about the throne room. There was thunder and lightning and the incense and golden bowls that contained the prayers of the saints. There was the altar, the majesty of the whole thing. And sometimes when we read those words, we think, well, it's almost too much for me to understand. It seems so far-fetched. It's a book that I just don't quite grasp, Revelation. But let me share this with you, my friends. Let me share the reality of earth with you. As we consider things this morning from the Holy Scriptures, let me share this. The earth, you know, at its core, the earth is a ball of fire. It's a ball of fire at its core. There's lava. I mean, it's fire. But wait, it's strange because on its surface, the earth is two-thirds water. So it's a ball of fire and water. Isn't that strange? Isn't it strange that when you consider the earth is spinning on its axis? It's spinning right now. It's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. It's spinning. And not only is it spinning, there's movement. It's interesting with God, you know, there's always movement. With God, everything moves. So food goes into the mouth, it moves through the body, the blood is going, coursing through your veins, it's moving all the time. The heart is pumping all the time. There is movement with God. When God creates things to move. This is why I'm going to ask you today, in your Christian life, how much movement is there? How much movement compared to last year? Movement in terms of spiritual movement. There needs to be movement. There needs to be growth. There needs to be a development. Things with God move. And things that are dead stagnate. And so the earth is spinning on its axis, but not only is it spinning on its axis, it's spinning around the sun. You can fit 1.3 million planet Earths inside the sun. Isn't that something? And we're spinning around the sun at just the right distance. So a little bit closer, it'd be too hot. A little bit further away, it'd be too cold. Hold on a sec. Let's just recap. There's the sun. There's the earth. The earth is spinning on its axis. It is traveling around the sun. It takes 365 days for the full journey around the sun to take place. While that's taking place, it's spinning, spinning all the time. And it's a spinning ball of fire and water. And we're living on that? Anyone got a seatbelt? I can't put a seatbelt on, sorry. Well, why isn't the water falling off? And the magnitude of God. And so when we read in Revelation that our prayers are like incense going up into the heavenlies, it's not so far away to understand, is it? When we recognize the magnitude of what God has already created, He is awesome. He's awesome. He's so one. He's so worthy to be praised. He's so worthy to be praised. My dear brothers and sisters, God is asking us, I believe, this morning to really examine where we are. I'm telling you, come with me into the scriptures. Let's look at some scriptures here, because we're in some interesting times. In 2 Timothy 3, let's read this. From 2 Timothy 3, it says in verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves." Men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They will just love money. They'll be ravenous for money. And the gospel will be perverted and turned into something that's there for gain, for financial gain. That's not the gospel. Yes, the scriptures do teach us that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Absolutely. But you know, God examines the heart. And we need to be ready to get rid of anything for the Lord. We need to be, we mustn't have finance or not to have you. You can have finance. Now that's okay. And God knows. But when finance has you, there's a problem. And people in this world, you know, they adore so much about finance. The big dream is I'll be rich and famous. And what's rich and famous? Well, it's having loads of money to spend on possessions and things. And everyone will know me, and everyone will think, what a fine person that person is. Even in the church. I tell you the truth. If the church grows and the church is 1,000 members or whatever size it might grow to or whatever, listen, the fame of one person whose name is Jesus Christ is all that a church needs to be about ever, okay? And no, I mean, who on earth, who is any person, a preacher? What? Anyone who, and you know, and it's subtle, and it's in the heart, and it's in people's heart, and it's subtle. And so every one of us needs to examine, hey, that house that you like, that house, it's okay to like a house. It's okay to enjoy gardening. I enjoy doing the garden, try and get it looking nice and try and get things. It's okay. As long as you have it and it doesn't have you. Here's a simple test. What if God was to say to you, can you get rid of that for my sake? Could you get rid of that? We've had to ask ourselves. If God calls us to sell the house, and now when we first moved in together, we lived in a nice terraced house in Swansea. Lovely house it was. We really liked that house. And I asked the Lord to bless me to make a good investment. And we made an investment. We did this and we did this. And I was running a business and things grew and, you know, things. But what happens, you have to be very careful. Because it's the little foxes. The little foxes come and they just take away your attention. And now you have to think, well, hold on a second. Just wait there. Let me just check this. Not be too fussed up on this. Now, we need to hold on to these things very loosely. If God says, can you sell that thing? And I want you to do this. We need to be in a position always to say yes. something like that has happened with us in the past. I'm so thankful we said yes. We took the opportunity to say yes to the Lord. And then he just gave us more. But see, a lot of people, they don't understand. And so they've never taken the opportunity to say yes. In fact, they won't even open their homes up to anyone else. We're meant to be a family. The Christian church is the family. Jesus is the head. We're the body. One body. A family. Maybe the Lord doesn't ask you to sell your house, but maybe he says, hey, will you give up a bit of space for that person there? Will you just give up a little bit of space? They need, you've got the space. Would you give your space up for them? No, it's going to cramp my style, you see, because I like my space. I've got, you know, this is mine. It's precious to me. This is for me. This is me. Now this is for me, you know. Jesus, you can have this. You can have Sundays and Wednesdays, but me, I've got to have my own space. No. What does Paul say? My life isn't my own. It's not your life. It's not your space. We depend on him for leaving this room alive today. Our breath now that we take in, I thank the Lord for the breath that I'm taking in. Thank the Lord for the breakfast I was able to eat this morning. So many people around the world haven't had breakfast this morning. So many people. So many people are in danger of their lives right now at this moment. Of their lives. Around the world. Christians. For what reason? Just for loving Jesus. And they're not going to deny the Lord Jesus. They're in danger of their lives. God says to us, listen, you have to deny yourself if you're going to be a follower of me. You can't live, you know, with a bit of religion. See, religion says Sundays, your day. Wednesday nights as well, because I'm a good Christian. You can have Wednesday night as well. And just to back it up, I'll run a house group as well. That's three. You've got, in total, I'm going to come twice on Sunday. So there's 3 hours in the morning by the time I get there, by the time I go home. There's a couple of hours in the evening as well. There's 5 hours. You've got 5 hours in just one day. You've got the 3 hours on the Wednesday, if I count the time I get there and the time I come home, because they always want to chat afterwards. There's 3 hours. Then you've got, so that's 8 hours. I'm going to do another thing as well. That's 10 hours. And on top of that, I speak to some people as well. That's fellowship. In total, you must have about 12 hours a week from me. You know, I mean, I'm like on board with this Christian thing. I am on the team. And those are the good guys. I mean, some, they're just like visited once a month. Just, hey! It's great. Hey! You think, what on earth is that about? I'm thinking, Lord, what is going on? He's called us to be a family. He's called us to live yielded lives. All to Jesus. All to Jesus. Everything to the Lord Jesus. I mean, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. These are perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, these are the perilous things of the last days. Hey, it's become normal for children to be, oh, they're just a child, they're just disobedient to parents. It's just a norm now. People don't expect anything else. So often, that's just the norm. But the Bible gives that as proof of the last days. It says that that's one of the perilous times when children are disobedient to parents. Unthankful. There's a lacking of thankfulness. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Always nitpicking, you know, nitpicking, unloving, unforgiving, or just, you know, just, what he said today was okay, but did you see those jeans he was wearing? Do you see the jeans? I don't like in jeans. It doesn't look, what he said was okay, it was all right, but he's wearing jeans. I just don't like jeans. Give me, please. Perilous times. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I'd love to be in church, but it's so sunny out there and it's just a great day for the beach. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You see, for there to be real godliness, there will be power. Without power, there's no real godliness. You have a form of godliness in a religious establishment. There's a form of godliness. Everything looks good on the surface. Jesus described Pharisees as whitewashed tombs, didn't he? Looks good on the surface, very nice on the surface, but inside, no power. Now, he's called us to have power. We had a ticking meeting recently with a conference. Many of you were there in that conference, I think. Certainly several of us were there. And it was a lovely thing to talk about some of the power of the gospel. And the ministers, what we were sharing about some of the lovely testimonies of the power of the gospel around the world, what God is doing, and the reality of God's gospel and the power of the gospel. It says this, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. We should turn away from them. And in the next chapter, you know, Paul writes this. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. My brothers and sisters, God expects us to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. He says, finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. To all who have loved his appearing will be given that crown. But what is it to love his appearing? To love the appearing of Jesus is to be following Jesus. To be in his word. To be having fellowship with him. But not just today. Every day. We're all ministers of the gospel. We've all been called to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus. To some degree, a priesthood of all believers. Each one of us in the body of Jesus on earth having a role to play. So what if we said this morning? Let me just throw this out. What if we said, look, how long have you been in the church? You've been in the church for 5 years? If you've been in the church for 5 years, really, there ought to have been enough information that's been taken in and fellowship with the Lord, that the Lord has grown you now to a place where you're able to grow others. And so why don't we stop meeting on Sunday morning? And why don't we now, for say, the next 12 months, meet in our homes and let's divide up all the leaders. And let's have a cell church network where we can invite people into homes and say, right, okay, we're gonna be now pastors to the people. Interesting idea. Why was I thinking along those lines? Well, I thought, well, hold on a sec. There's a body of believers, and the body of believers must exercise the gifts and call of God. The Bible teaches me over and over again that He has deposited in each one of us gifts. He has prepared, Ephesians says, good works in advance that we should walk in them. And those are in accordance with the gifts that God has placed on us. So how are we going to do that if our main service is on a Sunday morning and usually I'm the one that's teaching in that main service? What about if you've got a teaching gift? What if you've got a latent healing ministry inside of you? What if there's an ability to preach inside of you? Well, is it going to meant to lay dormant? No. It's not meant to be dormant. It's meant to have an opportunity to flourish. So I'm not necessarily saying, by the way, that that's what we should do. I'm not saying that. I'm asking the question, what should we do so that we can make sure those gifts are being used? Because wouldn't it be a tragedy for God, who we've been worshiping this morning, who has heard our prayers, who has deposited His gifts in us and is waiting for us to get on with it, to get on with the ministry of the gospel, and for us now to be in a position where, well, we're stagnating because we think that, well, this is what we've got to do. And this is lovely, and I look forward to Sunday mornings, and I love sharing, and I love this time that we have, and Sunday evenings, and the communion that we're going to have this evening. I look forward to Sundays. But I'm just trying to think, what can we do to reach as many people? We have to reach people. And we have to use the gifts and the call of God. I like what Franklin said in his testimony. I liked it. Because he said he didn't really, he was honest, he said he didn't really want to come. Didn't really. But then when he came, and he enjoyed. Sometimes, like the bird, the mother bird, she gets that baby, you know, and she pushes him out of the nest. The cuckoo pushes it out of the nest. That thing is either going to fall or fly. It's going to fall or fly. And sometimes I sense that we are about a time here as a church. I sense that it's a time of, come on, it's time to use those wings that you've got and fly. And see, with that in mind, the impetus behind that has to be the call of the Lord Jesus. And the clarity of that call. As we're getting to close here, let's just look at Jesus' words. Let's turn to Luke 9. in Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus says to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to come after me, let's read it like it's the first time we're reading it, church. Let's approach this like it's the first time we've read it. See, very often what happens, we've read it once, we read it again, we read it again, I know what this is, yeah, read it again, read it again, read it again. I know what it says, yeah, good verse, yeah, I know that verse, great. And we don't let it penetrate us. Let it penetrate into our hearts this morning, into our minds this morning. Let's pray before we read it now. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to the words of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would cause these words to be real to us in the way in which they were meant to be. That, Father, the gifts and the call of God in each one of us in this place will be quickened. Quickened to life. Oh, Father, and Lord, we ask you for help, Lord, in terms of how can we facilitate the gifts and the call of God in the church. Oh, Father, have your way with us. Have your way with us, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you for this moment, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
God is saying, be ready, be ready, be ready to use the gift that is being poured to you. Because it's through God and to the strength of the Jesus Christ in you that you will be able to fulfill the purpose that he already poured over your life. Be ready, be ready, be ready to use the gift of God in you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, let's just stand. I love you, Lord. And I lift my love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet praise his wonderful name. And Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, will save it. My friend, there's a question to answer this morning. It's a simple question. Have you lost your life for his sake? Have you lost your life for Jesus' sake? I'm going to tell you something. You listen real clear to me this morning. You better get those ears open and listen strong to me. Because this is not a matter for light listening. This is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the center of human history, who is seated at the right-hand side of the Father now. And he is asking a question to us through his word. Have you lost your life for his sake? Or are you demanding your space? Are you demanding your time? Are you demanding your things? It's not your life. You have to lose your life. It has to be lost. Every part of it. No holding on to finance. No holding on to that stuff. No holding on to that. No holding on to those earthly dreams. Earthly dreams, no. Ambition, selfish ambition, no. Wanting to be a success, wanting all that vainglory, no. Wanting people to think, oh, isn't he something? Isn't he, you know, isn't she? Oh, look at her, isn't she something? No, 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 no. Losing our life for his sake. Because what he did was so remarkable. On the cross, he took all our sin. He took every sin, the shedding of his blood, remission of sins. And he injected into us, he imputed his righteousness into us. And so he says to us, listen, this great exchange has taken place, but it has taken place for those who are now losing their life for my sake and the gospel. It's not our lives anymore. It's not your time. Oh, if we could take hold of this. Heavenly Father, we want to take hold of these scriptures, Lord, to the fullest extent. Father God, we want to take hold of your word and just yield to your word. Lord, I want everyone to leave encouraged. I don't want anyone to leave condemned. I want everyone to leave encouraged in Jesus. But Lord, I want the reality, Lord, of the truth of the scriptures to resonate in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I know that you're saying that we have to abandon ourselves, lose our lives for your sake. And Father, I give you the structure of this church, Lord. I just give it to you, Lord. I give you the whole thing, Father God. The whole thing with Ticking, with Living Faith Church, with everything that we're doing. Father, I just give it all to you. And I say, Father God, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Lord, I sense, I know there's tremendous power potential in my brothers and sisters here this morning. Tremendous power potential for the gospel. So, Father God, we yield ourselves to you this morning. We say, yes, we want to be soul winners for Jesus. We want to be discipleship makers in Jesus. And we give ourselves to this task. This is the goal now that we have. Oh, Father, show us, Lord. Have your way. Father God, have your way. Oh, Lord, have your way. Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust thee. In thy presence daily live. Father God, we surrender all to you this morning and say, shape our lives. Have your way.
Continue to just sing this song. I think today's time to respond to God. and just respond to what you've just heard. If you sense that God is just speaking to you this afternoon, and he's saying to you he wants it all on you, you agree, you want to give him all. As we continue to just sing this chorus, just respond to God right where you are. You can just pray to him or just sing the song as your prayer unto him. Amen. I surrender all. I surrender all. No to Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. No to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Go to Jesus, I surrender all to him, my in his presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all. And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Let's sing it. I surrender all. And I surrender all. And I surrender all. Blessed Savior, I surrender. Jesus.
respond. If it's you, you come and respond. You come down to the front and respond to him. I sense that people need to respond and they're not responding. Amen. Yes, please.
I want to give everyone the reality check this morning. What you've heard this morning is you've had a message from Scripture calling you to surrender. And it was a good message from Pastor. And then you've had a word in tongues, a gift of the Holy Spirit speaking to the church. This is you. Not everyone who sat next to you, you. Then you've had an interpretation of tongues, a gift of the Holy Spirit speaking to the church,
Jesus.
Speaking to you.
Jesus.
This is not for the person next to you. This is for you. God has given you a word. The preaching is it's a message from God. The tongue was a message from God. He's confirmed it. The interpretation was a message from God. He's confirmed it again. It's for you. It's not for the person next to you. It's for you. It's for me. Respond to it today. If you think God never speaks to you, he just did this morning. You might feel like you're up to here in the pool, and if you take one more step, your feet are no longer on the ground and it's not safe. Take the extra step. Take the extra step. God isn't going to leave you.
Amen.
When you can stop trusting your own feet, you're in the right position. Trust God. He's going to take you forward. He's going to take you to places where that you could not possibly go on your own. You're going to do things that you couldn't possibly imagine you could ever do. And I don't know where this is coming from. This is prophetic. Take the step forward. God is going to take you into those new places.
Amen.
Yield.
Yes. Yes.
If you're feeling uncomfortable right now, it's because you don't want to yield. Don't miss out. It's for you.
Pastor Dennis, I don't want to go on too long, but I feel compelled to say this. I sense people have wondered at times when they've read the scripture about walking on water. They've thought, what would I do if I had the opportunity to walk on the water? Would I have got out of the boat and walked on the water? My friend, the opportunity is here right now. Get up out of the boat and walk on the water. You see, walking on the water was a decision. It's a decision to do that which is impossible in the natural. Doesn't make sense in the natural. It's a spiritual thing. And saying, it's no longer my life. I've given my life over to you. I've surrendered all. It's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. And there's adjustments that come with it. You ask God before you go on holiday. Should I go on holiday here, Lord? You ask God for everything in life. Because your life isn't your own. What should I do with this, Lord, this money? What should I do? Where should I go? What should I do, Lord? Everything to him. A life surrendered. And you know, my dear brothers and sisters, I sense so clearly this. The reason is this. The Lord wants us to be his mouthpieces. into this world. He's got messages within us. And the yieldedness to him will allow a sensitivity to his message in us to come out. As we yield, that message will come out. It'll be for a family member. It'll be for a friend. It'll be for a stranger. But it'll be the right word in season. It won't come out unless we've resigned our lives over to him. Unless we've given up our lives. Unless we've died to self. Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice. I sense this is a word from the Lord for us very strongly at this moment in time. Please. Do what the Apostle Paul says. Examine ourselves this morning. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in our lives. Oh, to Jesus surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender.
Everything in my life, Lord Jesus. Everything.
All to Jesus.
Every area.
I surrender humbly at his feet. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior,
Jesus said it like this. He said, there is a broad road and many go on this road. That's the way that most people go on. And most of the people in the world, if you want to be wrong, you just follow the crowd. You'll find they're wrong. You want to be wrong, you follow the crowd, because the crowd, Jesus says, the crowd get it wrong and the crowd have got it wrong. And he says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are on that. Most of the people are on that way. He says, narrow. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there are that find it. And he says, the way that leads to life is a way that denies self, picks up its cross daily. He gives a timetable to it daily and follows me. And so this is different to religion. This is different to the religion of Christianity. This is a life that is set aside for Jesus. A life that's set aside. A life of denial to self, yieldedness to him. Oh, he's so worthy, isn't he? He's seated at the right-hand side of the Father. He views everything. And this morning, as we've entered into this time of worship to him, we are saying, Lord Jesus, I am surrendering everything. And if there's any areas in my life I'm not even sure about, Lord, I'm just surrendering everything. My intent, the intent of my heart, is to be completely surrendered to you. The intent of my heart, I may have got things wrong, I may not have understood things. I'm sorry, Lord, for messing it up. I'm sorry that I haven't perhaps understood. I've been hard-hearted, perhaps, whatever it is, Father God. I'm sorry. And Lord, what I want to do is surrender everything and follow you in a way that's yielded. I will live my life no longer for myself, but yielded to you. I want to be all that you've called me to be. I want to hear those words one day, well done, good and faithful servant. But notice the word servant. Serving Jesus with your life. Saying, Lord Jesus, what shall I do next? I serve you, Lord. Where shall I go? What should I say? Who should I talk to? I serve you, Lord Jesus. I don't serve me. I don't serve my desires. I serve you. Show me what to do, Lord Jesus. Show me where to go. Praise his holy name. He's so worthy. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Now, as we close, we're going to, God willing, meet together this evening. We'll take communion. And this evening, we're going to look at what we said this morning in some more detail. And one of the things that we'll be looking at is the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, keep on being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting what that means when you look into the Greek. Is it very interesting? It means that we are pressured by the Holy Spirit. It means that when you ever taken those orange vitamin C tablets, you put them in the glass and the glass turns orange. Have you seen those? And then the whole glass is changed. It's not just the bottom of the glass is changed and the water in the bottom. No, it's all changed. It's all orange. Be filled with the Holy Spirit means that everything is changed because of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Everything's changed. It's being pressurized in that way. It's as if God pressures us into the shape of His choosing, molds us a vessel fit for His purpose, permeated throughout. That's part of the filling. And the other lovely picture I like is the filling of the Holy Spirit, like the wind in a sail. So that our lives, so that we yield. You know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to resign to God. You have to say, it's no longer my will, thy will be done, before you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we say that, the wind of God, the filling of a wind in a sailing ship, let's say, it fills the sail, and it takes that ship wherever it can go. And the power of the Holy Spirit in a life that's yielded takes that life wherever it wants it to go. The Holy Spirit, He takes us where He wants us to go. And there's adventures for faith for us that are beyond what we could think or imagine. Let's just reflect on what's taking place this morning and the scriptures that we've listened to. Let's think about those scriptures, our prayers, where they end up. They live, they're eternal. We think on these things as we enter into the day, and let the Holy Spirit continue to have His way with us and yield to Him. Amen. You know, it's going to be a bit awkward, but I'd like us to close in a prayer where we hold hands. There's a lot of us, but let's just do that. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to ask our brother, Pastor Eric, to close in prayer for us, if you would, brother.
Father God, Lord, and all of the earth, Father, we realize that this day, Lord, that we cannot serve God and man. We cannot serve the world. May our spirits rise within us to worship your holy name. Father God, when we think where we were and what we might have been, Lord, before time, Lord, you have your hand upon us. And Lord, today you've transformed us from what we were into what we are.
Praise God.
And this morning, Lord, we just come in total surrender to you. And Lord, when you said in the garden, your will be done. And Father God, let it be your will this morning that would take hold of the end. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, that, Father, that the gospel, the full gospel, is preached in this place.
Thank you, Father.
And so, Lord, open our hearts today. As we leave this place, Lord, and we take in physical food to sustain our bodies, let us remember, Lord, the spiritual food for the Lord that we've taken in today. So, Lord, we just bless you and we worship you, Lord. And as we go our separate ways, Lord, we just give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor for which you richly deserve. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God.